You can show the world what a survivor know-it-all you are with one of our RHAP t-shirts available between now and the end of the Survivor season on May 20th. To check out the shirt designs and see the new V-neck design that was just made available, you can go ahead and check out our t-shirt page at robiswebsite.com/bellshirt. The shirt starts at $16 and we donate $1 from every shirt sold to Autism Speak. So check them out. Available for the rest of the week up until the finale of Survivor Worlds Apart on May 20th at robinswebsite.com/bellshirt.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls. Survivor know-it-alls. Steve and Rob went out and down. Got the game all figured out. They know.
Yes, that's right. We are live Survivor Know-It-Alls here after episode number 13 of Survivor Worlds Apart. I am Rob Sestrino, and here I am with the man who 1 week from tonight will be sitting here in a position to be sorely disappointed. Here is Stephen Fishback.
Wow, Rob, what an episode. What an episode tonight. Really awesome last 5 minutes. You know, I thought all along, really solid episode tonight. What I love about this season is that I think it's been, or it's not been consistently fun, but I think this episode was, there was drama all the way through, even though once again Mike wins immunity, and once again, you know, but what was amazing was that just an explosive ending, and somehow, you know, you come out rooting for anyone in that alliance of six. You know, Carolyn, rooting for Carolyn, and wow, I'm not even making, I don't even think I'm like making complete sentences at this point.
Yeah, I was saying before we started the show that I know I feel like Rodney from just being podcasting, basically like strapped to this microphone since Friday. Yeah, I've recorded a total now of 23 interviews with probably average runtime about 45 minutes. Of all of these interviews with the people that are in the same boat as you, 1 week from tonight, will be at the finale waiting to have their name called.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's really, really, it is so nuts. Stephen and I are here, and this is going to be it. 1 week from tonight, we will not have Stephen Fishback as part of our finale coverage of Survivor Worlds Apart. Stephen will be in the audience hoping for a free plane ticket.
Well, I am terrified, but incredibly excited. It's going to be a, you know, it's cool. This sounds like false, but I think regardless of what happens, it's cool to be a part of. It's just cool
it's
to be part
exciting.
Of this crazy vote.
It's yeah. really, really exciting. Yeah. Steven, do they give you a, like, do you have a plane ticket for if you don't make it? Do you know what day you're going back? Do they work any of that out? Or everything is just going to get figured out after the fact?
No, I've got my plane ticket out there. And then I think they sort of keep you around for public shaming. You know, you do like interviews with people about how disappointed you are.
Oh, I hope so. I hope you guys do exit interviews, the people that don't make it.
Yeah,
all right,
exactly.
We're here. Sure. Blah blah blah. So how does it feel? Well, I'm really upset.
Pretty bad. Yeah, feels terrible.
Is this
the worst. The thing is, like, every one of those people, all their friends and family and colleagues and coworkers are going to be watching live, looking for this moment, and that's terrible. Like, what other situation in life is that where you're like, I mean, I guess if you're nominated for an award,
yeah,
like,
it's the same thing for like the, you know, on a much smaller scale, like with the podcast awards,
right.
I definitely was like, boy, I don't want to tell too many people to watch this because then if I don't win, I'm going to look stupid. But if you're like on the Oscars or the Emmys or something like that, you know, and then the camera's like right on your face, like hopefully they won't be doing that. Like, and the final person is in like a split screen of like nine different faces.
Yeah, I mean, at least though there, you're like a movie star, you know, like there you've got like an incredible achievement. You've made an amazing film, or in your case, you've created a podcast that has deserved the award. So regardless of the award, you have the achievement. Survivor is unique for choosing people who, for the most part, really have no achievements.
Right. Right. Because you either have this or then you have nothing.
Right. Nothing. Exactly. So this is all, and you listen to all these podcasts, people are like, this is the only thing that I have in my life. Please send me back. It's scary.
Okay. So let me just set the stage here of what's going on. So we're going to recap tonight's episode, episode 13 with Steven, get into all of that. We still have a lot of interviews still in the hopper. By the way, you could hear Steven Fishback's interview with me, which we recorded yesterday.
I felt like we had a good one.
Yeah, it was very fun. It was very fun to talk about Steven. And he talked about a lot of things from his first season and things he's learned and his feelings going into potentially another shot at Survivor. You could hear that all on robiswebsite.com. And if you want to go just right to our page where we have all of our interviews, we have, I believe, 19 posted right now at robiswebsite.com/secondchance. We still have 4 more that I've recorded that we haven't even posted yet. And I have a couple more during the week that I have scheduled to go. As of right now, I have 25 total that are going to be scheduled.
Of the 32. Wow.
And Mike and Carolyn can't do them. So there's five people that we may not get at this point unless they reach out to me. But really, really happy with the outreach from the people trying to get onto the show, and really appreciate the hustle everybody's doing. Put on their hustle pants.
T-Bird first? T-Bird was the first one.
T-Bird was first. I had to give it to a classic person, Steven.
That was great. I thought that was good. Yeah. A lot of misremembered anecdotes about Survivor Africa.
Hey, it's been a long time.
It has been a long time. I've actually been watching Survivor Africa. It's a crazy, crazy season.
Okay. Then shifting to tomorrow, we are going to have our exit interview with Dan and get to talk about what a night for Dan.
Wow.
Yes. Wrong.
Yes.
That's like the theme of Dan's edit. Dan is wrong. That was basically like everything about Dan this whole season was wrong.
Yeah. So we're going to talk with Dan.
I sometimes started to feel bad for him, and like just when I was on the point of feeling bad for him, because he has really had a tremendously bad edit. He's looked terrible. He's gotten a lot of online flack, and then he'll post some rant about like something terrible. And it's like, I want to have sympathy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very curious to see what the exit interviews are like.
Oh, and I have a feeling he's going to be punchy tomorrow. I have a feeling he's going to be, you know, he is not going to, you know, if anything, he might get the, you know, I shouldn't have said all of the things that I said, and I really feel bad about everything. However,
and then
go right into like, Shireen did this, Carolyn did this, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. All right.
This was not a good episode for Dan.
No, yeah. Well, if you were,
your boot episode is never a good episode, but this was,
he didn't come off particularly great in his boot episode. And we'll talk about everything with that. Then on the podcast tomorrow, Aris is coming by. We haven't talked to him yet this season. He's going to be here in person.
So he's plumping for Vetus. He's hyping up the Vetus train.
Yes. Well, I'm sure we will ask him about it, but we will be talking more about the episode. I will keep him on point talking about everything from going on from the episode. I'm sure I will definitely be asking him about.
Hey, that's why I'm here.
The people that he played with in Blood versus Water and in Panama that are back in the mix, but
it is interesting. There's a lot.
Yeah. And we'll talk about all that with Aris, and then voicemails with RHAP's own Haley Strong, host of the Bachelor wrap up when Bachelor is around the corner. So we're going to have Haley on to take your voicemails. So get your voicemails in at 323-282-RHAP or robswebsite.com/voicemail. And then Stephen, 1 week from tonight.
Wow.
We will need a fill in know it all.
Oh my God.
To talk with me.
This breaks my heart.
Yes. So Steven Fishback will not be with us next week. But
I do super badly. This would be a horrible trade off. Miss a whole season of conversations with you just to like, you know, be in like, you know, 3 episodes of Survivor Second Chances.
Yes.
No offense to 3 episodes, Rob.
No offense. Hey, it was 4. It was 4, a-hole. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you're laughing now. What do you okay?
believe me? I know.
The shoes on the other foot soon.
Yeah.
All right. But in all seriousness, next week we will be live with your buddy and mine, Steven. Tyson Apostle will be joining us to recap the finale.
Oh, he's going to be the post show recapper.
Yes. For next week, Tyson will be joining us to fill in for the finale.
That's great. But Tyson, too, he knows the game so well now. It's crazy. Like, in Token Genes, he had like a pretty decent understanding of the game. He truly is like, at this point in his life and his career as a survivor, he's got to know the game as well as anybody.
That's right. He knows the game particularly. He doesn't like have all the like historical information right, about all the seasons. But as far as when it comes to actually, you know, practical information, he's got it all down.
Yeah. And he knows what it's like to, you know, be voted out pre-merge. He knows what it's like to win.
He knows what it's like to be in the seat that somebody's going to be in this Wednesday when they become the most overlooked winner in the history of Survivor. Yeah.
If Mike wins, this is one of the most spectacular wins ever, right? Like, can we agree to that? Like, I'm not going to be here to make this point because I still truly believe Mike wins. This has got to be one of the best winners ever.
No, I mean, it seems like all signs point to a Mike win next week. What do you think about this? Because, you know, we have some winners right. that played in seasons where they were sort of the front runner the whole time. Boston right. Rob, Kim Spradlin. People like this, Tom Westman, they led from the front, and it was almost never in doubt that their win was going to get there. For Mike, it's been sort of the opposite. You know, right. he's been on the ropes now basically since Joe got voted out, and that right. was a month ago on the show. And for him potentially to go from, you know, target on his back every single week, needing immunity or an idol or to figure something out, which in your mind? Yeah. is the win that deserves right. more credit.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. Like, I think traditionally we would always say, like, you know, it's that person who's the strategist, who can build the alliance, who can keep the alliance together. But like, winning is winning to a certain degree.
Sure.
And immunity challenges, they're a really important part of this. And Mike, to his credit, he built an alliance at a certain point in the game. You know, he cobbled together the votes at the merge when those were in question. You know, he lost that. And then when he lost it, he just started winning out. You know, he played it. He had an idol. He played it at the right time. He's kind of done everything. And I think that makes him actually unlike a lot of other winners who are more one or two note. You know, like if someone's a master strategist and they're great at building alliances, you know, that's awesome. And those are typically the winners that I do respect the most. But what's cool about Mike is that he's kind of done it all.
Yeah. It's almost like, you know, Mike, it's like the Donald Trump story in some ways of that. He's like he amassed like a huge empire.
Right.
And then he lost it all.
Lost
he was
it
bankrupt.
All. And held on.
Chapter yeah. 11. And it looked like he was destitute. And then he sort of like had to build his way back up. But then hopefully it doesn't go with, you know, he starts like Mike's Celebrity Apprentice and, you know, become like a real caricature of himself. That we hope that, you know, that stops. But maybe around like mid 2000s, Donald Trump, that would be a nice stopping point for Mike.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and he got rid of the people who were better at challenges than him. And now he's winning all the challenges. Like, that's great. Good for him.
Yeah. So for Mike, it really is like a, you know, tale of two seasons where he had in the pre-merge, like yeah. he was the leader of his alliance.
And into the merge.
Yeah. Into the merge. And then following, yeah. you know, once the auction hit his game, he totally derailed his own game really through.
Do you think it was that one moment? Is it that one moment of it with that, the letters?
It's a great question to ask Dan, and I will write that down to ask yeah. Dan.
That really, like, is that, was that little, like, that would be crazy if that little accident was suddenly what flipped the game on its head for Mike.
Yeah, but he was able to do the thing where, like, he, like, fell off the tightrope, but he was able to, like, hang on with one finger and, you know, eventually, like, move his way down and eventually get back up.
Yeah.
And again, we're talking about this game like it's, you know, a...
Right, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We're getting ahead of ourselves. This was a tremendous episode. We need to talk about this episode, this okay. crazy episode.
All right.
Where
yeah, so let's,
advantage is played, idol is played, Dan goes home, Carolyn in the mix.
Yeah, all right. Let's pick up at that tribal council, of course. I haven't even set this up. We've been so excited tonight. Chat room, robinswebsite.com, hashtag RHAP, YouTube channel, robinswebsite.com/YouTube. Okay, that tribal council. Dan has his advantage and he says, Jeff, I'd rather go down swinging than look yeah. at strike three. And, as a Mets fan, Carlos Beltran, 2006, I can relate to how that goes. You'd much rather strike out swinging than strike out looking. Dan goes out and casts another vote on Carolyn.
Yes. This is truly the worst play of an advantage. I mean, to be fair, most advantages are not like playable in this way, but this was the worst way Dan could conceivably have played his advantage.
I mean, what was he concerned about? Why pile on another vote on Carolyn?
To be fair, like, you never know for sure, right? And Mike kind of put it in his head, maybe it is you, Dan. You never can be certain. And Dan had the thought, well, what if it is me? What if I'm going home? What if maybe I've sent, you know, maybe this is the deciding moment for me. I mean, the thing is, like, what did he, you know, if he had four votes on him, that wasn't going to, this extra vote for Carolyn wasn't going to change anything. But what it does do, what it actually does do is it contributes nothing in terms of the vote order. It spooks Carolyn to playing her idol.
Yeah. And so that's the big question of the night. Would Carolyn have played her idol had Dan not played the advantage?
I mean, the narrative that we were seeing in the show was that he played the advantage and she used that as a clue that she needed to play her idol. And, like, to be fair, she was unsure, right? She thought that it was Dan going home, but she was slightly unsure. Mike kind of put the bug in her head. Dan sure seems like he's safe. He's sleeping in the shelter with Rodney. And then suddenly Dan plays this advantage. You know, she knows there are votes coming her way. She doesn't know how many. You got to play the idol at that point.
Okay. Sierra voted for Carolyn. Is there any wisdom in this?
I mean, if you look at the alliance that Sierra is with, yes, 100%. She is with Dan and Rodney and Will. If Sierra gets to the finals with any of those people, she's winning the game.
Boy. Dan, Rodney, Will, final three, Stephen. We almost had that.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah. Would that have been, in Survivor history, the best final three of all time?
I think so. I think that would have been the greatest final three. We would have been seeing a very different story this season, I think, Rob. I think there is some moments would have not have made the show if that were the case.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's a final three that's like that in Survivor history.
Well, what about like Vesepia and Nalia? Like, they were both sort of,
But is there a final three where all three people in the final three are unlikable in terms of how the edit went for the season?
Well, then they would never like fully edit.
They would make it so whoever the winner was, they would sort of try to like highlight them as sort of being okay.
I mean, the closest is probably Gabon, right? Where you had Bob who came off like a hero, but you know, who really for the most of the season just sort of laid around.
Yeah,
right?
But he wasn't Bob. But there was nothing negative to show about Bob.
Right. Right.
So I don't know. Maybe somebody in the comments could give us a heads up on that in terms of.
Well, Samoa had Natalie. She was a bright, shining star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think there would have been a final three like that. Okay. So, Stephen, Carolyn, you feel like definitely played the idol because of what Dan did?
I mean, that's what I saw on the show, right? Like, in her head, was she going to play it anyway? Hard to say, right? Like, she certainly waited till after Dan played his advantage. You know, the way we saw it was like Jeff brings out the votes, moment of pause. Carolyn has the chance to play the idol, doesn't play it. Dan brings out the advantage, votes Carolyn, and then Carolyn, another moment of pause, gotta go. And I would think that in that instance, who does she know that Dan is voting for? You know, Dan isn't voting for Sierra.
Yeah, it's almost like if Mike and Carolyn really could have compared notes, like, I think they could have figured this all out, because Carolyn was part of the group of guys who was in on the, hey, let's make the vote be Dan tonight.
Right.
Right. And she's like, okay, Dan. And then Mike is part of the group of like, okay, let's, you know, we know it's Dan. And then I guess behind the scenes, though, I guess then Carolyn doesn't know that the plan is really to vote for Carolyn. So I guess but Mike is very astute in the way that he's able to look at what's going on in the shelter. I thought that was great. Mike does have some really sharp instincts in terms of the game. Like, there's really, yes, he's especially even the way that he snuck up on Sierra and Carolyn.
That was amazing. So he like appears out of the forest. Have we ever seen something like that where someone like freaks out when someone walks into frame?
I mean, he's a big guy for him to be able to do that. You know, he really is, I think, a very gifted player. I think that if I was going to, you know, give him any advice, if he was going back into the game again, I think he needs to just tone it down. Like, he's playing, like, this whole game, he's at like an 11, and I think he needs to just like bring it down. I think that the
best would probably disagree, right? He'd probably say the reason he's doing as well as he is that he's at 11.
You better relax, bro.
Yeah, he's got to relax, bro.
Well, and the you know, there's that moment. Dan has so many confessionals. Dan has such a chip on his shoulder about Mike, right? Like, at the beginning, Dan is trying to make fire. Mike's like, need me to help? Maybe I should help you now. Mm-hmm. And Dan's like, God, Mike will not, you know, just like let other people freaking exist. And then later on in the, you know, when Mike says to Dan, you know, I can save you. I could let you go. And there is a little bit of arrogance to the way that Mike is speaking to him, right? Where he's like, I am God and I can decide if you live or die here.
Yeah.
But, you know,
in fairness to Dan, Dan knew that, hey, well, let's tell Mike the fake plan is vote out Dan tonight.
Yes.
So, but, you know,
yeah, go ahead.
In fairness to Dan, like, Dan has no way of knowing Carolyn has the idol and she's going to play the idol tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He does earlier in the season, though, there is a scene where he says, like, hey, where's that white collar idol? Who has that white collar idol? But then, you know, it's not factored into his decision tonight or how they play the votes.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's at this point in the game, you can't like assume that the person you happen to be targeting for votes is going to have an idol. Like, can you assume they don't? Not really, but I mean, you know,
okay. Well, is there anything that he could have done with the vote doubler? I guess that he would need to probably have another person put a vote on somebody. Unfortunately for him, he's kind of stuck with what he can do.
Yeah.
He only has one vote. If Mike and Carolyn putting their two votes on somebody.
Yeah, I saw someone tweet, though, that like this does sort of answer the question, is the idol more powerful than the double vote? And the answer is, yeah, it is, right? The idol's more powerful. I mean, the vote doubler, if used maybe situationally, could be like, if it had been used like a 3-3 split, obviously that's huge.
Okay. So where did Dan go wrong? Should Dan have, you know, flipped earlier? And we know he's out here. What was the right point this season when he should have made his move?
Or Dan should not have made a move, right? Like, if let's assume that there's a final three of Will, Dan, and Rodney.
Yeah.
Mike says the only guys Dan can beat are Will and Rodney. Dan was doing the right thing, except playing like and spooking Carolyn into playing the idol was the only place he went wrong.
Yeah. So if this worked tonight, is there a shot that Dan could have won the game?
Yeah.
So if let's just play it out. Okay. So Carolyn's gone. It's final five. Can anybody beat Mike the rest of the way?
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, this group of people, like, especially with Carolyn gone, like, you saw how they were in the challenge. You know, Sierra actually, to be fair, looked like she got kind of close. And that's a crazy thought too, right? Like, that Sierra was 3 seconds away, if that, from winning that challenge. And that could have been the difference between Mike being, you know, the sixth place finisher versus Mike winning the season. Isn't that crazy, this game? It's so crazy. That tiny little difference. Anyway, obviously this is on my mind. But
yeah, I mean, it is such a crazy game, you know.
Mike would be a small character and like Sierra would be this like, you know, big hero we were rooting for all season, you know, who knows.
Yes.
Other than that kind of thing, Mike is just in such a dominant position right now.
Yeah, Mike's just in a really great spot. If somebody is going to upset Mike here the rest of the way, it's got to be Carolyn, right? Is that the only person that can do it? And Carolyn, you know, perfect timing with this vote going on. Her two best episodes of the season have been back to back here.
Yeah, she's really making a late game emergence as a player, and it really is the best time. Like, I tweeted that. Like, I think this is like Carolyn like locks up her position on 31 with it.
Yeah, and I know Mike and Carolyn have been bummed out that they can't do interviews. Yeah. And
being on national TV is like a nice
you know. Right, nice consolation. Like, you know, playing immunity, playing the hidden immunity idol at final six when the voting is going on. I think that's a better cam, with all due respect to Rob's podcast. you're doing just fine.
You know, there's 12 million people who are watching you have a strategic coup in the end game of this game.
Right. And Mike winning an immunity. And Mike here, I talked with Terry yesterday and I haven't posted that interview and I wish I would have brought this up with him. He's on like a Dietz-esque run here. You know, he's got an immunity idol. He's winning immunities. He's won what, three of the last four individual immunities?
Yeah.
I mean, very impressive run, and he could just run the table the rest of the way.
Totally. I mean, would that be the most immunity? How many did Lex win in Africa? Lex won a ton of immunities.
I think that, you know, Terry wins. I believe Terry won the first five after the merge in Panama, and then he didn't win the last two. And then Mike here would be almost the opposite, where he lost the first two.
Yeah.
And then here it could potentially win like five out of the last six.
That's crazy. That's just crazy.
Yeah. So good on Mike for, you know, really getting on this real hot streak down the stretch.
Now is the time to do it at the end. But like really like, but you know, to the point, like Mike has really dominated this season, you know, start to finish, whether at, you know, maybe not the very first few days, although it did seem like he and kind of, Kelly had sort of an alliance right out of the gate, and they were sort of the hinge over the blue collar tribe. But, you know, certainly, you know, after the swap, at the merge, you know, Mike at the swap, Mike was the guy who targeted Joaquin. At the merge, Mike, you know, formed this alliance. And, you know, he sussed out when people were against him. And it's since that point, he's just been, you know, ping ponging back and forth.
Steven, we've made the comparison at least a couple times this season between Mike and Tony because of the spy shacks and spying and stuff like that. But just overall as a player, don't you think that there's a lot of similarities between Mike and Tony?
You think just because of the crazy energy, they're always going hard.
Yeah. Like if in the NFL draft, they talk about a guy's motor a lot, that the guy just, you know, the guy just can't be stopped. He just keeps going. I think both of these guys are sort of cut from the same cloth, that they just have this, you know, unstoppable energy about them. And they're just, the wheels are always turning and they're always, you know, working. Tony had the numbers more down the stretch, and Tony was able to almost do everything he wanted to do in terms of, okay, this week I'm going to get these people to vote with me, and then this week I'm going to get these people to vote for me. Mike is not able to close these sales like he is, but he's been better in the challenges than Tony has been.
Well, and it's interesting that Tony had this sort of opposite strategy where Mike got rid of, right? This is something we talked about all along the way, was like, do you keep the big threat and how long do you keep them for? You know, Tony kept Spencer around till the very, very end.
But Mike got rid of LJ. Joe.
What?
But I feel like Joe was the LJ of the season.
Oh, I thought Joe was like the Spencer, where he's like the obvious sort of, but I hear what you're saying. I mean, there, you know, that maybe, you know, maybe there were more threats on Tony's season.
I feel like Tyler was the Spencer.
Oh, interesting. I can see that. Tyler is more than the Spencer. It's hard. We didn't see a ton of Tyler, so it's hard. It was hard to really get his personality. He's always just started like squinting and looking like knowing.
Yeah, but I feel like there's some similarities between these two guys. Like they're like, you know, one guy, you know, this is the Mike, the Texas guy, and Tony is from Jersey. But I do feel like deep down there's some like similar chromosomes that are there in terms of them as a Survivor player.
Yeah. Oh, I see it. I just, you know, and I do agree that they're very like, and they also both have very good, you know, reads on people. They've both got really good reads of where people are going. And we haven't seen, one thing we haven't seen from Mike is him like, I don't think we've seen him like misjudging people's intentions, right? Like he knows when people are against him, and they're often against him. We haven't seen him like misreading people for the most part.
Yeah. It's almost like Mike hasn't really been duped at all this season anybody. Like there's never been a blind side. People have been coming for him, but he's been able to sniff it out the entire season. Yeah. And you know, that's the same with Tony. Also, nobody's ever able to, you know, get the jump on him out there either. He's going to, you know, just, you know, out hustle everybody.
And I think Tony, you know, I think obviously Mike has his advantages. He's better at, you know, he's probably better at making friends. He's better at reading people. Tony, he's better at, you know, winning challenges. I just don't think anyone is better at reading people than Tony is. Like, and you know, Tony's superpower of just people would say a lie or a truth to him, and he would immediately know its veracity. You know, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay. That's an interesting comparison, and maybe it's one we're going to have for a while, or at least I'll have for a while with whoever I talk to on the show while you're
out. Oh my God, just dig the knife.
while you're out, you're out doing God knows what. You're out sitting in a monsoon.
Yeah, I'm out in a camp on a trip around Cambodia, you know. Yeah, who else? I don't even want to say.
Yes, yes. Are you prepared to give up lots of rewards to your fellow tribe mates, Stephen?
That was an interesting moment. You know, it's interesting because that was not a good play from Carolyn, right? Like, give it up if you want, but don't think about it, talk about it, and then not give it up.
Yeah, it's the half measure of like, just, you know, make the move that you're going to make, but yeah. like move, like pick the piece up off the board, put it down, and then just don't be like, is this what I want to do?
And Jeff was, you know, Jeff was instigating. She was thinking, and Jeff was prodding. He really did a lot of prodding this episode too. Even around, like, wouldn't you say that Carolyn is a threat now too? Cause she's winning a lot of immunity. He was stirring the pot.
How much were you yelling at your TV during that puzzle challenge, during the rearrange of the phrase?
That was amazing. That was one of the greatest things, you know, that was incredible. An hour. And then the best part is when, first of all, the real best part is when they like flash to the words that they're assembling. And it's like waxes, shaint, you know, like they're not real words.
There's a tile with an N and an apostrophe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steven, I do have to feel like, you know, I think that some people really come up with all sorts of theories that are, of course, very much
fan fiction.
I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
But I have to think, we made all the fixins on Rob as a podcast.
Yeah.
That, like, that wasn't a thing before RHAP, right?
Wait, what?
We would talk about that all the time. Every time it was a reward challenge that Jeff and all the fixins.
Oh my God, that's crazy. You think that's right?
I mean, is that that common of a Survivor phrase?
No, you feel like? I wasn't familiar with that Survivor phrase. That's crazy.
Back from when we used to start the podcast, we used to talk about it all the time of like all the fixins.
You're getting reward challenges. You're sending contestants onto the show. Like, this is huge. Like, RHAP is like actually becoming bigger than Survivor.
No, stop. But that was cracking me up because I feel like that's why it took so long. I feel like the people, like, it's not really that common on the show, but we've been saying it forever. All the fixins. Yeah.
That's funny because it's not that common. Like, who remembers that phrase? Certainly none of these
all these people in the chat room remember it. If you've been a long time listener of the podcast, we talk about all the fix-ins all the time.
In terms of like Jeff being like, this is such a common, yeah, your point. Like, you're right. It's like not at all.
Yeah. And it's really like Nicole was the first one that really talked about it a lot that's how old that is.
Wow. So as old as Nicole.
All the fix-ins. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So Steven, we had Will and Carolyn and Mike on the reward. How did you like how Will handled Mike's pitch to what, right? Do you think this is the final three?
That just perfect, right? That's exactly what you say. It was a very Penner-esque moment. No, I'm good. I don't need that final three.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the move. When someone says, what do you think of this final three? Carolyn handles it perfectly. She says, wow, I think that could be such an interesting final three. Wow, that really could be great. Will's like, No, I'm good. Basically, look, whenever anyone is offering you anything, the answer on Survivor is maybe, you know, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's everything is always yes. Everything's always yes. Yes.
Like, you don't have to, he should consider it. Like, the fact that he just dismisses it out of hand, and Mike is doing really well.
Yeah. What'd you think about the Chekhov's watermelon that we saw in the episode? Like, I was really like expecting this to be like some poisonous fruit that was going to end up being somebody get medevaced. I really wasn't sure why we needed that in the episode.
That was such a strange moment.
Like, we brought back scene. Whole yeah. It was like a secret scene that made the episode.
Yeah, it was great. I like that. I like that. You know, it's a nice moment for Dan. He provided for his tribe. You know, he got them a little bit of food. I thought that was nice to counterbalance some of the negativity that he had. Like, you know, for all of his failings, he's a human being.
Okay. Is the whole thing about people sleeping in the shelter, is Mike 100% right about that?
I mean, they were not just sleeping. They were like head to head. Like, they could not have been in like a more intimate posture, you know, like sort of like being on top of each other. They were basically as close as they were going to get.
Yes. Of course, we have the BR rules where it's whoever you're sleeping next to, that's probably an alliance. But now, if it's the day of tribal council and you're sleeping, you definitely are safe.
Yeah. And especially if your name has been bandied around and like suddenly you're like sleeping with the guy who's allegedly engineering your ouster. Don't totally buy that.
Okay. Did Dan screw up by not at least telling Mike that he was going to go with him? Going back to that Will thing of like, if the answer is always yes, and Mike comes to you and says, hey, like, Dan, we're going to do this. Come on. Should you tell Mike yes?
And what does Dan say? He says, He does, doesn't he? We don't really see what he says to Mike.
Yeah,
we see him. He says, like, how can I trust you? How can I, right? He says something like, how right. do I, how right. do I ever trust you? Why is Dan so suspicious of Mike?
I don't know. He hates Mike in this game.
Yeah, he does. He does really. He really does not. He's a thing about Mike. It's crazy because they, on the first day, they were friends. That's so sad.
Yeah. I just think it's the thing where he knows he can't beat Mike in the end.
Yes.
So he has to make Mike out to be such a bad guy. Villain. And so it's easier for him to vote Mike out because Mike's crazy. Mike's a lunatic. I got to vote him out. Where in reality, it's like the, you know, the guys that he could be going to the end with probably are not as good of a guys as Mike is, at least as far as, you know, what's going on in the game. And then, you know, he's like, no, well, you know, Rodney and Will are pretty, pretty solid guys.
Yeah, I think, yeah, exactly, exactly, exactly. He needs to create this narrative, and they're all doing it, right? Like, even when Carolyn and Sierra are talking, and like when Mike interrupts, and you know, and then he like walks off on them. He's like, I'll let you get back to your conversation, and then walks away. And like the thing they say is like, oh, he's just crazy. He's so paranoid. Like, Mike isn't paranoid. Everyone is out to get Mike, but the fact that they're still trying to like marginalize him as like he's gone game crazy. He's so paranoid with the game, which has been their narrative about why they turned on him. Like that's like the fact that this is still going on, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later is nutty.
Yeah. Anytime Mike says anything, that's what they've just sort of like painted him with this brush
he's
of like
crazy.
He's crazy. What a lunatic! What a lunatic!
But they really are out to get him.
Yeah. He's a crazy guy. Okay. Can Carolyn beat Mike under any circumstances in the final three?
I don't see it. You know, I just like Mike. I think Mike, he's had played such an awesome game. You know, he's come back, you know, he's just won out with everybody against him. He's got this jury that's like very favorable to him. I just don't see anyone beating Mike in the final three.
Would Carolyn have been better off with Tyler in the final three?
So this, yeah, I mean, this goes back to the question, right? Was it the right move to let Tyler go? I mean, Carolyn was, for the most part, like she was almost blindsided today, right? And had Tyler been there, maybe that wouldn't have happened.
Right.
If she had not let Tyler go, she would have had another ear to the ground.
Who would have gone home last week if it wasn't for Tyler going home?
Dan, maybe?
Let us know in the chat room if we sort of play this out. Because then Mike would have still played his idol and Mike would have probably won, but it would have been Tyler that went home this week. So I think she still would have been okay. She would have still probably had her idol going into the final five.
So marginally better position.
Okay. All right. Marginally better, but still not great. She's got to beat Mike out in a challenge. I think that's what this game comes down to for Carolyn. She's got to beat Mike at the final five or final four immunity.
Right. Right. In some ways she has to win out against Mike. I mean, because nobody else will.
Yeah. Nobody else will. You got to think that, you know, against Will and Sierra, and I guess if it was the right thing, you could see maybe Sierra winning a immunity challenge down the stretch, but Rodney has just won nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because he's such like a beefy guy or a muscular guy. And he is really, it's all these muscly guys, you know, Garrett. I mean, he lasted 6 days, so it's a little bit different, but, you know, they don't always win out.
That's why, Steven, you should be doing nothing but just like eating McNuggets and milkshakes and just you gotta get some fat on you.
No point. I know. I'm really scared. I actually am concerned about it. I can't. I'm having trouble putting on weight.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. All right.
I'm worried about it.
Pack on the pound. You don't want your body to go into shock.
I know.
Yeah. Don't worry about, I got to look hot on camera.
No, there's no chance of that.
All right. Steven, should we get into some questions?
Yeah, let's get the questions.
All right.
I got it. Bavia Johnny wants to know, was that not the funniest reward challenge in Survivor history? Didn't Sierra have the correct answer and Dan shut it down? Yes, she did. Very early on, she said fixin', and Dan says not enough letters.
Dan is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty great. It was, I don't know if it's the funniest, like honestly, that barrel rolling moment in the barrel rolling challenge
was
one of the favorite things I've ever seen on TV.
You love that. That was good.
But it was pretty great. This was a pretty epic fail.
Okay. All right. What about Jackson Milton, who says, could Dan have orchestrated a split with 3 on Carolyn, 2 on Sierra, with Sierra going home on a revote?
But he would have to know that Carolyn had an idol and that. It's a little bit. So the idea is that Dan knows that there's 3 votes for someone, right? From Rodney, Will, and Sierra. And, you know, it's just so convoluted, though. He'd have to know that, A, the votes were going to Carolyn, which, like, why is he then going to play his extra vote if he already thinks Carolyn's getting the majority of the votes?
Right.
B, he has to know Carolyn has an idol in order to, like, make putting two votes on someone else worth it. So it's a little convoluted.
Yeah. The question is, do they suspect that Carolyn is with Mike? And if that is the case, is there somebody from that group where he could go to Will or Rodney and say, like, hey, you know what? Let's put an extra vote on Sierra. Let's put a vote on Sierra here. And then I'll put one vote on Carolyn. Let's put one vote on Sierra. And then we'll sort of split the vote just in case Mike and Carolyn have something up their sleeve. But again, right, we're expecting him to know a lot of stuff that I'm not sure he could have known.
It wouldn't be possible.
In fairness to Dan, like, we're going to kill Dan for a lot of stuff this season. I don't know exactly if he could have known that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think the things that we need to kill Dan for are at the Shireen vote, when there goes two votes for Dan, he does not move when he could potentially move.
I still don't think that was necessarily right for him to move, you know? Like,
yeah.
He, other than Carolyn playing her idol tonight, like, Dan was in a good spot.
Right. But he needed to somehow get rid of Mike. And that's the thing where, you know, in some of these seasons where, and, you know, just even like with yourself in JT, it's like, you know, somebody's got to beat this guy down the stretch. And
but joining him isn't going to suddenly improve his odds.
Right. No, it's hard. You know, as much as people want to kill Dan, and he's been, you know, a lot of people have really not liked him, it's hard to find some place in the game where you say he zigged when he could have zagged.
Right. There's only like if Dan were able to get rid of Mike, you know, that's it. Right. Like that's the big issue. And it even really was Mike who kind of undermined him today by just showing how safe he was. You know, he didn't act well, right? Maybe you can say that, like, Dan didn't act well, as though he thought he actually were going home.
Yeah. He had basically two different ways to go, and neither of them were particularly desirable. He could either go with Mike, or, you know, go with these guys against Mike with no chance of beating Mike in the challenges.
The only thing I could think he could do is, like, why not agree with Mike? You know, you don't want, you know, he was so comfortable with being the default boot, the decoy boot, you know, when the other guys were like, we're telling them you, he was like, yeah, fine, whatever. And that is what ended up biting him in the butt, was that he was the decoy boot for Carolyn and Mike. And if he had maybe, you know, he could have objected there and been like, why do I need to be the decoy boot? Or he could have said, you know, with Mike, he could have been like, you know what, you're right, let's try to make something happen. And then he's putting Mike's vote somewhere else. So that way, he's not just accumulating all the votes against him in the chance something does happen, which it did.
Yeah. You know, it's tough, though, if the plan is that you're the decoy vote.
But why accept that plan? That's not an okay plan.
Well, if we go back to Survivor Samoa, there's a point when John Fincher is going to be, they throw out, I believe, Monica Padilla is one of the people that they come up with this plan, and they're going to tell Russell, hey, we're all going to vote for Fincher tonight. And John Fincher's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, when did it become okay for everybody to write my name down? And he still ends up getting voted out in that episode. So it's like, you could fight being the decoy vote. And sometimes that's worse than actually being the decoy vote.
I just think it's crazy that he's so, like,
and in that case, they weren't even going to really write his name down. Like, they were just going to tell Russell that John Fincher was going to be the decoy vote. And he's like, I'm not laying my neck on the line for any of these people.
It's pretty good Fincher.
Yes. All right.
Jonathan Wallace wants to know, I don't understand why everyone keeps referring to Mike as public enemy number one. Other than Jen and Shireen, it doesn't sound like anyone would actually vote for Mike in the end because they all see him as a traitor.
Hmm.
Wouldn't this make a good ... I don't know what that is.
Okay, let's talk about that, Steven. As the viewer, we'll see Mike as the hero of this narrative, but will the people on the jury, will potentially a Rodney, will a Will, will a Tyler, will they see Mike as the person who they should vote for. Now, he's got a lot of the no collar people, I think, are going to carry the day on the jury, and they are all pro Mike.
And, you know, I think Tyler, you know, in that confessional of his, Tyler said, you know, we have been trying to get out Mike because he's a huge threat. And I think when threats do win out, people reward that, as they should, right? When, like, Mike has had to win every single immunity so far and play, you know, every single, you know, pull out every single trick from his bag of tricks. And he has. And I think that some of the gamers are going to recognize that. You know, the only people who truly believe that Mike flipped, I believe, is Dan, right? Like, that's the only guy who, like, actually thinks Mike somehow betrayed anybody.
Yeah.
Like, that was a lie that Tyler and Carolyn used to sell to maybe Sierra thinks that too, right? To Sierra and Dan.
Let me ask you this. Does Mike have a straight shot at this thing now that, okay, Dan is gone.
Yeah.
Will Mike, Carolyn, and Sierra just move together and vote out Rodney and Will? Or is...
Why would anyone join with Mike to vote out Will?
Mike still need to win the immunities at 5-4?
Yes, of course. Well, I don't get it. Why would suddenly Mike now be a desirable ally now that he's closer to the million?
Okay, I'm just asking the questions. I just want to make sure.
Questions. I don't want to believe. There's no such thing as a bad question, Rob.
Except for that one.
That one was borderline.
Yeah. Borderline. Okay. All right. I'm gonna love watching you suffer so much. Jericho says Dan's advantage seemed flawed. His second vote should have been private as to not tip off Carolyn. What the hell?
Yeah, it does seem like less of an advantage that you, although I don't know. Yeah, I mean, because as soon as you play the advantage, I mean, it's really to be used in a tie, right? It's really to be used when there's a deadlock and suddenly you whip it out and you're like, oh, guess what? Now there's not a deadlock anymore.
Yeah.
Because I won.
I think the vote doubler is fine. It's just you need to use it at the right time. Like,
do you think this? So Jeff says the vote doubler plays out spectacularly. I think we were all expecting that. We were all expecting like some kind of like deadlocked vote, and Dan brings it out at the perfect moment and like, whoa, tribal council just blew up. He played the deadlocked vote. But that obviously didn't happen. Do you think that this makes them bring it back specifically next season, or do you think that this like? Do you think this makes them want to use that the vote doubler again?
I think so. I feel like, you know, the hidden immunity idol wasn't fully formed in,
right.
you yes. know, its initial, you know, run in Guatemala. And it took a couple seasons to get it right. I feel like we will see and Steven, I've been corrected on the podcast. People don't want it to call it a vote doubler. Please
oh,
call
it's a
it,
double vote?
It's an ex, vote. It's an extra vote because extra you could vote. Put one vote on Dan, you could put one right. vote on Carolyn.
Right.
So please, if you are out there and you see this thing, please extra spread vote. The word to people. We're calling it an extra vote, not a vote yeah. doubler.
Guys, we're calling it an extra vote.
Rob said he got a lot of angry tweets about this. Please, it's not a vote doubler. It's an extra vote.
Yeah, you know, it's you're right. Like, it takes a minute for like some kind of like best practices for strategy to evolve. And it still sort of has the potential to be a really powerful tool. And it no matter what, right, it creates drama because it did put this target on Dan where maybe he wouldn't have had a big target if he didn't have this advantage. And that begs the question, do I save the $500 for the vote doubler?
Just eat.
Just have the sandwich.
Just have a sandwich and like put your mind at ease. And also, good luck trying to figure out, okay, should we split the vote? Does this person have a vote doubler? Or yeah. I'm sorry,
oh
this person
God. Extra, oh my
an
God.
Extra vote?
Unbelievable.
Have fun with that. I'm sure you'll have plenty of rest-filled nights. Connor Barry says, what is the probability of this outcome? Sierra goes with Rodney and Will, votes out either Carolyn or Mike next. And one of those three win immunity, and it's a Sierra win. All right, Steven, can we entertain this thought? Mike doesn't win at 4 or 5. Sets him up as a prime candidate for a second chance.
Yeah.
Carolyn also does not get win immunity. Sets her up as another prime candidate for a second chance. And it's a Sierra, Rodney, and Will final three.
Yeah. I think Sierra's in a great spot. You know, that's why she votes Carolyn. I think Sierra's in a great spot right now.
In that scenario, in that final three, would Sierra win out over Rodney?
Yes. Right. Don't you? Oh, but what did she do though? Like Rodney at least has, Rodney has a legacy, right? Rodney can point to, I made these moves. The problem is Rodney's so hot-headed and he's like, you know, he's pissed a lot of people off. So it's just this question. I mean, that seems like that's like a jury question. Do you look at the guy who, you know, made more moves and who had more of an impact on the game? Or do you look at the nice person who, you know, didn't really piss anybody off?
Yeah. It's a little bit like the, you know,
Russell Natalie.
Yeah. Russell Natalie. Like I was going to say, like the Tiny Toons version of Russell and Natalie, where Rodney, not nearly as bad as what Russell did.
Right. And Sierra probably not nearly as good as Natalie.
Probably not. I mean, if you were going to say what was Sierra's best move in the game, I'm hard pressed to come up with what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Either one would win out the prophecy or fulfill the prophecy of that the blue collar winner, the winner of the blue collar, the tribe is right here on the blue collar tribe.
Yeah. But
how cheap would that be if you become knowing and snow it all on a Sierra win?
You know what? I would have been happy saying Mike at that point in time. You know, you said blue or red. You wanted the whole field, the whole color field.
Oh my God. Imagine though Will does win. Imagine though then at least I would be the knowing and snow it all.
Better, yeah. Yeah. That's yeah, that would be great. That would be the best ending to this season. Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah. Will victory.
My hopes really went down in flames with Tyler going out because I could have, like, Tyler and Carolyn could have gone to the end with Will and then had and Will got no votes and it would have been it. But I don't know. Okay, a couple more questions. Jer Martin says, was it a bad move for Callan to give Mike a high five at Tribal? She openly aligned with Public Enemy Number One and painted a big target on her back.
I don't know how much bigger a target she can have. They all just tried to vote her out.
Yeah.
She just
no got, harm, no foul on that.
Yeah, 4 votes or whatever. I think when you avoid, Lu Chen wants to know, Mike's approach with Carolyn Dan ended up working out in his favor, but could he have done a better job at diplomacy? He agitated Dan's ego and caused Carolyn to, at first, dismiss him for being paranoid with how dramatic he was.
Hmm.
I think that's a great point, and I think that's throughout, because Mike is at 11, it like is rubbing some people the wrong way. And I think that's what you're saying, Rob, like Mike needs to be a little bit better at diplomacy.
Yeah. Also early on in the game, I think that it also got on people's nerves in some of the fights that he got into with people like Lindsay and stuff like that, where, you know, that he just needs to, figure out a way. If he is back out there with you, just remind him,
you better relax, bro.
Yeah. You better relax, bro.
He does need to, you know, and it's funny, like, it's funny to remember that, like, the Mike of, like, the first couple episodes where he was just, like, getting into these fights about who was working the most. You know, it's like, it seems so foreign from the Mike of now, who's just, you know, outplaying everybody and out-strategizing and winning all these challenges. Because that seemed like a pretty amateur mistake, right? To be, like, having a fight about working hard enough.
Yeah, don't do that if you go out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't be like, guys, come on, who's working today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll probably be like, I suspect in this upcoming season, I feel like it's going to be more like the, you know, villains tribe from Heroes versus Villains minus Boston Rob in terms of like, nobody's going to be doing any work.
Yeah. That's my fear, I guess. I don't know.
All right. Blade Blur X says, why did Sierra vote Mama C? Does she not realize that the three guys will not take her to the end? I understand wanting to get rid of Mike, but why did she not want Mama C in there?
It makes sense, right? Mama C is the most threatening person, both in terms of challenge and jury wins next to Mike. You know, she's got probably the best rep of the people left. Like, you know, again, like when you've got, when the alternatives for her are Dan, Will, and Rodney, you know, she's on Goat Island. You know, why, you know, you want to keep the goats on Goat Island.
Yeah. I feel like that's her whole game is I just got to get to the end with the goats. If I just hang out with the goats and get to the end with the goats, then I'll win the game. But I feel like
game.
It's an okay game.
I mean, you're right. It's not a made for TV game, but it's
Okay. Let's do one last question. Cause I don't want to let you go yet, Stephen.
Oh my God.
Okay, this is from Purdue 0999. Should Mike and Carolyn have voted Boston Rod out instead of Dan?
That's interesting. That's an interesting question. Do they? Maybe they thought, you know, you got it. Well, so Carolyn thinks Dan is the vote, right? Carolyn actually thinks Dan is the vote for her alliance. And then Mike also thinks Dan is the right target because he's got the extra vote. He's got the extra vote. So I think from both of their perspectives, they're trying to eliminate the advantage. You know, they don't know that Dan is going to play.
They don't know it. Vote. Right.
So I think they're still making the right move.
Okay. Steven. All right. Wow. In 1 week and about 1 hour and like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We're going to find out exactly if you are getting your ticket punched and who you're going to be potentially going out there with.
This is crazy. This is nuts.
Yeah.
Who do you think? Who's going? I don't want to know. Yeah.
It's going to be really, really fun. I mean, I've gotten to speak to so many of these people over the last couple of weeks, and I really do feel like, you know, this is a hard decision for the voters because it's a fun group of people.
It's
a pretty good group. You know,
it is.
You could nitpick this person. But overall, I think it's going to be a pretty fun group. I think that people will be hard pressed to screw this up in terms of this cast.
And it's not, you know, there's not a lot of darkness to, you know, that was like a Shane's word, but like, you know, there's definitely something dark about this season, right? Just like the negativity became very personal. And I think that, you know, you got some explosive personalities out there, but not so vitriolic, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, Steven, if things go your way,
wow,
you know,
we won't be podcasting till the first.
Well, it's going to be a win-win because either you'll get to go on Survivor,
right,
or you will be back with us to talk about this season. Yeah. And then you could really, I mean, just think about, you could be zinging these people all season if you're here with me.
Oh my God. And no, that's like the worst, right? Like to be like a bitter, like, oh, look at these losers. My God.
Would you be like that next season on the podcast?
I mean, you know, I guess I'd have to be, right? I'd be so filled with rage and bitterness.
Who's getting the fishy? No one.
Nobody.
Nobody. This is the worst Survivor play I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Every episode. It's like Randy doing that.
That's what it would be like. All right. Well, again, I hope I don't talk to you for a long time.
Rob, that's so sad. I'm getting teary eyed.
I know. But look, it would be a lot of fun. I think you deserve a second shot. I hope it works out for you. Do you have a hashtag? Let me put you on the spot for a hashtag.
Oh gosh. I always
one more time.
I mean, I keep on saying spectacles, but I like get fish back. Get fish back with a K.
Okay, get fish back. That's a Steven hashtag.
For the episode. I like Shaint. You know what? That's my hashtag. I love that. That was one of these words. Typically, though, you do something that we've talked about. So I don't know. I hate this. You really just making me miserable for the last Shaint? Shane was in the puzzle. They flashed like some of the letters that they had assembled. And one of the, like, you know, it was one of the words was Shaint, S-H-A-I-N-T. Okay. Oh, I loved it. But what's a better hashtag for this?
What's a better hashtag? All right. The people in the chat room are saying Shaint. Okay. All right. There you go, Steven. All right. So I don't want to say goodbye. I don't want to do it. All right. Yeah. But we have to because Steven, you have your people, you have your blog written.
No.
Okay.
Will there be a Mike, right? Mike or Carolyn?
Give it to Carolyn. She played the idol. Give it to Carolyn.
Yeah. You're right.
Next week, will you do a people blog for the finale?
I don't know. I need to find out. Actually, I don't know what the handlers are going to allow us to do.
Okay. All right. So we will
assuming
see.
I make it. Yeah.
Yeah. If you make it, if not, it will be the worst people blog you've ever done.
Just a slurring of like keystrokes from my drunken misery at the finale after party.
Yeah, that'll be right. And just like, you know, Randy and Coach in Heroes vs. Villains. If you don't go, I'll buy you a beer.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
My treat. I'll buy you a beer next Wednesday night if I see you. But anyway, so tomorrow we're going to have our exit interview with Dan. Then we are going to have our podcast with Aris and voicemails with Haley Strong. And then 1 week from tonight, our big recap of the Survivor Worlds Apart finale, the Survivor Worlds Apart reunion show, and the announcement of the Survivor Second Chance wow. cast with Tyson Apostle next Wednesday night. Don't let Steven get hashtag stood up. Throw some votes this week, please. Yeah. Don't make him sweat there on the finale night. He's going to be a nervous wreck when we do these shows. Don't make him sit there with like beads of sweat coming down his spectacles. Yeah. All right, Steven, great job tonight. You know, if it does work out in your favor, if it doesn't work out for me, if it works out for you, then I will miss you dearly next season. And best of luck to you officially on the record. And take care.
Thank you. Okay. I'll talk to you soon, Rob. Or right. not that soon.
Hopefully not that soon. All right, take care. Bye.